אז אנחנו נעבור עכשיו לשיעור בתלמוד 10 הספירות של רבש. אנחנו קוראים בחלק ד', כרך א', חלק ד'.
So we will move to test with Rabash. We're reading for volume 1, part 4. Item 5. The words of the Ari, item 5. We'll begin with page Reshut Gimel, item Hey. It says this. Before the reality of Akudim, the upper light could not have dressed in any kli, because the vessel was not able to bear it. And there, the light did not dress in the kli, until the expansion of that great light came to Akudim. And there, a reality of one kli was created for that great light. And then, the Atzilut began to be in it, some reality of the limitation over the light of the kli that could not be thus far. So what's written here is that before Akudim there was no light dressed in a kli. After Akudim was made, there was a reality of a single kli and a reality of limitation over the light that didn't happen until Akudim. So what is Akudim? We need to learn that there was no kli yet. Item 8. Akudim, what is Akudim? They are the 10 sefirot of Toch, of the first Partsuf, in the reality after the first restriction, referred to as Adam Kadmon. Beforehand, before the Tzimtzum, there was no Rosh Toch Sof in the upper light. Rather, the upper light was filling up all of reality. And this is what the Rav says. And I repeat, what's written here above? What is Akudim? Toch. What is Toch? We learn Guf, and he clarifies and says, before Akudim, meaning Toch, before the Toch Rosh, and then he interprets that beforehand it was already called Ensof. It's the Rosh. We need to interpret like this. I repeat again. Akudim are the 10 sefirot of Toch, of the first Partsuf in the reality after the first restriction. This Partsuf is called the Adam Kadmon. So I say Akudim, while meaning the first Partsuf that emerged after the Tzimtzum. If so, before the Toch, meaning in the Rosh, there was no limitation. So, the evidence that I bring, that I talk about after the Tzimtzum, is that before the Tzimtzum, there was no matter of Rosh and Toch. And with regards to Akudim, it isn't called Toch. So, after the Tzimtzum, meaning before the Toch, in the Rosh, there was no limitation. Next. And the Rav says, before the reality of Akudim, before the Toch, meaning in the 10 Sefirot of the Rosh of Adam Kadmon,
the talk, the act,
which come before the ten sefirot of the toch of ak, called akudim, the upper light could not have dressed in any kli. This is clarified well in part 3, that there is no kli in the ten sefirot of Rosh, but only the roots for the kelim. Therefore, we said before that in the Rosh, Or Pnimi and Or Makif, is one light, where they begin to divide in the Guf, where there is already a limitation, then this limiting is called the inner light, and what comes outside is called surrounding light, and until the end, we need it.
Is this clear thus far? Questions? Hi, yeah, what's up? First of all, you understand what he's saying. Who understands his speech? Everyone, that's good.
A lot here is not understood. Akudim is toch of what, first of all?
Akudim means the vessels that contain the upper light as it is in their ten sefirot. This is called akudim. You have akudim, then nekudim, then budim. Akudim is the world of Ak, let's say it this way.
So I didn't know the world of Ak is a toch of something. I thought it's the Rosh, if at all.
Rosh and toch and sof, it's all called Akudim.
What is the Rosh of Akudim? Because he talks about the Rosh of Akudim here too. Yeah. What's the Rosh of Akudim?
Galgalta, Absag, they're the Roshim of Akudim. All the five heads, Galgalta, Absag, Mabon, the Roshim of Akudim. Heads.
So why did he say Akudim are the ten sefirot of the toch of the first partsuf?
He's talking about the toch of the Akudim, where the light is actually bound inside the kli. It's not in the Rosh. This is true. But I'm telling you, the entire world of Adam Kadmon is called Akudim,
which includes both Rosh and Toch.
Even Sof. Everything. But the word Akudim, bound, means that the light fills and is present inside the vessel, which is certainly the Toch of the Partsuf. Especially. Yeah. Yes, Yochai, what's up with you?
Good morning, my teacher.
Good morning, my student.
Rav, something very weird. I actually heard something.
You?
Yeah, I don't know. How does he say he didn't understand? It's it's really weird.
See, let me see that. A month ago, you were crying that you don't understand anything. And now you're saying, who are they? And I... right?
But look, Chaim looks like the manager of a bank.
And yeah, such managers. Sure, is it clear?
Yeah, some things felt, I don't know.
Well, there is some progress, you're not crying.
Is this okay, Rav?
Of course. Soon you'll come to the bank and say, I have to be a manager here.
No, really?
No, I'm telling you in all seriousness. The way a person advances, that's how you should advance. Come on. Well, I decide, or you, from above, they give it to a person, and that's it. Advance slowly, like everyone, you will see. You will be even more than everyone, because I'm your beloved teacher.
Yeah, seriously, why is it a joke?
It's not a joke. Truly so. This attitude gives a person additional vessels. It's not that I'm great and you're small. Rather, this attitude opens up new vessels. Yeah, let's go.
אני רק רציתי בקשר ל...
I just... Where is Shai? Something we have to add.
No, before Chanoch asked, and maybe it was misunderstood. Let's say in my tent, there's an emergency and I have to go live in Hawaii. But I didn't leave the path. I keep continuing. I continue to watch lessons and everything. What should be the attitude that my tent from, and so on?
That's something else. I want to place an emphasis on caring for the ten. Now, about this friend. If he's asking, if there's no choice, and he's moving, he's relocating to a place where, you know, we have to make sure we'll have a ten in this place. If not, to have a virtual ten. But not that he will be in our ten if he's with other nine friends, and one other friend virtual. It's not good. That's not good. It's better to have the whole ten complete, and he will be in a virtual group. So we have to take care of that, get him involved, connect him, match him up with a virtual group. That's true. Nevertheless, first of all, the concern for the ten. Because in spirituality, only the ten is recorded as existing. Kola, you here? Barely.
Before the reality of Akudim, the upper light could not have dressed in any kli because there was no ability for the kli to bear it. Now, nine below. So he interprets. It means the ten sefirot of Rosh of Ak, that the kelim could, because there was no ability in the vessels to bear it. Why? And then he interprets, because the returning light that rises from the Malchut above, it's not considered the vessel for reception for the upper light, but only the root of the vessel of reception. As we learned, that there was a calculation in the Rosh of the degree, and then it can receive. Therefore, as long as the Malchut of Rosh expands to 10 Sefirot inside and out by the returning light that inverts and descends from above downwards, from the Pe and below, it means that it doesn't receive, and so necessarily there are no vessels there at all. As the returning light rises there from below upwards, and we need to know the rule that every clothing from below upwards, below is called Tachton, the lower one that receives. Above is called bestowing. The bestower, that I say when the light comes from the receiver to the giver, it indicates the departure of from reception, that the lower one doesn't want to receive. And if the lower one doesn't want to receive, this is called from below upwards. So he does not clothe anything, then why do you say there's a clothing from below upwards? So he answers, why we call this clothing is because the ten sefirot connect there and become the root for the clothing. On the one hand, is the root of clothing. So the calculation he makes in the Rosh that he can later receive in the Guf, that turns out is the true root of clothing. But the root of clothing is called clothing from below upwards. The receiver gives to the giver, to the bestower. And what is called guf when he receives, because that's from above, from the bestower, downwards to the receiver. This is called clothing that he already receives, and when he receives, it's called kelim. And so, as the Rav writes that in the Rosh there were no vessels to bear it. The vessels didn't want to receive. The vessels only wanted Malchut, the connection. By that, he doesn't want to receive, only on the condition that it's in order to bestow. Then he can receive afterwards. Is it clear? 10. Item Yud.
I wanted to add a few more things. You listen, you hear what he's saying, right? You understand what he's saying? You understand. But it's not about it. You need to receive from him spiritual force. The spiritual force and not all these things. Ascending, descending, light of clothing, light of reception. This is all, you know. Rather, I'm listening to him in order to receive from him a spiritual force that he has to pass to me. This is the main thing. This is the meaning of learning from him Torah and not Chokhmah, not wisdom. Let's continue.
Item 10. What does it say above? Look above, and there the light was without clothing in the Kli, until an expansion of the great light came to Akudim, and there was a reality of a single Kli. Item Yud below. Until the Malchut and the returning light with it continue the 10 Sefirot of Rosh into the Toch,
and Toch,
meaning this is called from above downwards, as said. And then there was one Kli, meaning the Kli of Malchut, that has expanded and received into it the amount of light that her returning light could clothe from the 10 Sefirot of the Rosh. Meaning, as much as there was in the Rosh and the power that there was to receive in order to bestow, that was in potential. Now, it's received in practice. And he says, they are called the 10 Sefirot of Akudim, or the world of Akudim. So what is Akudim? Specifically from Pe and below. What was in the Rosh could not be considered Akudim. Reading above, then the Atzilut began to be, to have some reality of limiting the light, Chaf, because Malchut, at the end of that Kli, which is considered the Malchut of the Kli of Malchut, which stands at the Tabu, she limits the upper light in its way from expanding from it, her and below. And that force of limitation, called Malchut, which enables the expansion from her and below, creating the Sof, is called Tabu, or sometimes Chazeh. And from there and below, it's called the end of the degree, the Sof. What is the Sof? I don't want to receive. And it said, I didn't want to receive. That's called Sof, end, ending. So there is a reality of limiting the light. This is I receive, what I receive, and this is what I don't receive. What could not be until now, until Akudim. Why? Lamed. Meaning, even though the Malchut of Rosh also limits the upper light, we've learned in the Rosh that this is received and this is not received because the coupling of striking happens there and the returning light. So you say, why this limitation happens specifically in the Guf, in the Toch? However, this limitation and this returning light of the Malchut of Rosh is not considered an actual limitation, but only in potential. As the Rav says, that the Keter is the what's called the Yuli the initial substance that already contains the root of all the four foundations in potential and not in actuality. And it can be called Ensof and Emanator. And it means the Ten Sefirot of the Rosh. And what he says, Keter, means the emanator, which means the Keter of Rosh. As we learned, the rule that every degree is divided to five aspects of Rosh, and every degree is called Keter, from the Peh to the Chazeh of every degree, which is called Chochmah, from the Chazeh to the Tabur, which is called Binah. And from the Tabur below, it's called Zeranpin and Malchut. So he says, what he calls Keter is called Ensof, which is only in potential, not in actual fact, which means the Rosh of the degree. If we're talking about receiving, that he received nothing. So how can it be? So it can also be called Ensof, and it can also be called the root of the foundations. What is the root? That by making the calculation of limitation in potential, what to receive and what not to receive, afterwards there is a power to what to receive in practice and what not to receive in practice. So it turns out the limitation of the vessels that the Rav refers to actually happens in the Guf, but there was a root to it in the Rosh, and therefore they don't receive. So he says, in the Rosh there is no limitation. He says there in part 2, let's read page Tzadik, answer Mem Gimel. The question is, what is Masach? So he says this. The main question is, what's the difference between Masach and Tzimtzum? So he says this. The power of Tzimtzum, restriction, that awakens in the emanation with respect to the upper light, to stop it in its path from going down to the Prina Dalet, meaning once it arrives and it touches Prina Dalet, then Prina Dalet, which is called receiving in order to receive, immediately that force awakens and hits it and pushes it backwards. So what does it say here? The force of Tzimtzum that awakens in the emanation when it arrives to him towards the upper light and continued it and touches the Prina Daled, receiving in order to receive, immediately that force of restriction awakens and hits the light and pushes it backwards. And that force is called Masach. And you should notice the difference between the Masach that exists in the emanation and the restriction in him, which are two completely separate issues, because the force of restriction that was made over Prina Daled is aimed at the Kli in the emanation, which is the longing to receive. Which means that due to the desire to equalize the form with the emanator, he prevented himself from receiving during the longing to receive. Because the longing is called Prinat Daled, it is a higher force. It's the desire to benefit to the creator beings that works in the lower one, as a craving to desire to for pleasure and delight. And the emanation cannot cancel it or even reduce it a little bit. Rather, he can hold himself from wanting to receive, even though he longs for it a lot. For instance, like in fasting. In fasting, he's forbidden to eat, so he cannot, his body cannot be hungry. So he's not the boss of what not letting him eat, but the desire itself, if it's hungry, it's hungry. And this force of delaying to not give to it always dwells on the Prinat Daled in the emanation. So when is it relevant to say that he delays his desire? It's hungry, it doesn't let it eat, but it's not hungry, let him eat. And so in either case, there's no longing for eating. So when can we say that there is a delay over the desire? So he says, this force of delaying always dwells on Prinat Daled in the emanation, except when a new light is received. Then it necessarily must cancel that force of delaying, meaning the tzimtzum, the restriction, and it uses the longing, and the longing toward the upper light appears in him. By that, he uses the longing and is able to receive the light. If so, he canceled the restriction of not using, not eating, and he says he does want to eat and he does receive the light. And here, after the restriction is canceled and he received the light, the action of the masach in the emanation begins, because any longing continues the upper light in wholeness, as it happened in Ein Sof, as it's a higher force that where there is no control for the lower one. So the light descends in order to fulfill the Prinat Daled, but in that moment, when the light touches on Prinat Daled, immediately the masach awakens and hits the light and pushes it backwards. Because he wants equivalence of form. So it turns out that he receives the light only with three phases that are in order to bestow, and the Prinat Daled, which is in order to receive, does not receive it. So you see that the action of the Masach only happens in the time of when the light comes, after the force of restriction is canceled for its time. What does it mean, for its time? In order to receive new light, as clarified. And the action of restriction, however, is perpetual, to prevent oneself from receiving the light, since the Tzimtzum and the Masach are two completely separate aspects, and you should know that the Masach is a result of the Tzimtzum. Here too, he says that every aspect that receives Ein Sof. And we should say that every aspect receives from Ein Sof, which means that the Ein Sof shined to the receiver in order to receive. And so each and every aspect wants to receive in order to receive, like it was in Ein Sof. This is why this Prina rules, but you need to know what to receive. And that's the difference between the lower one and the upper one. Not everyone sees what is to there is to receive. But here, we're talking about the relation. The relation is that each and every degree wants to receive with its will to receive, which emerges, which it stems from the world of Ein Sof, which is referred to as benefiting the created beings. and when it shined to the vessels of reception as well. So the force of Tzimtzum awakens right away, which is called Masach, and he doesn't receive it only in the three phases, meaning he makes the calculation how much he can receive without blemishing the restriction. What was the restriction about? Equivalence of form. If there is equivalence of form, he receives. And this is called the Rosh of the degree. Then this limitation that existed in potential, it's not that he received or didn't receive, only below, when he starts receiving, that's called Guf. Then we say there is a limitation of the vessels. So it turns out that what the Rav says above, that what was made, that the Atzilut began and some reality of limitation over the light began in it. And where was it? In Akudim, from the pan below. What couldn't be so far, in the Rosh of the degree, there was also a limitation in the Rosh of the degree, but that was in potential. It's not that he received or didn't receive. In practice, when the Guf begins, that means in practice, that is what I receive and that is what I don't receive, then a Kli was made. So that is what is the meaning of a reality of a single Kli was created, and he says that the Malchut of Rosh expanded and received, and this is called Sfirat Akudim. This is one, meaning the vessel that Malchut received, he also says, a reality of limitation was made. The Kli called Toch, the limitation is called in the Sof, when there is actual reception and actual ending. In the Rosh, however, it was only reception in potential and not receiving in potential. So we start talking about the Kli only from the Kudim, which is called a Guf.
Meaning, this is the full explanation. Of course, the Kli is called the Toch of the Partsuf, and the Akudim is the Toch of the Partsuf, but this whole world is called after this special reception in the Partsuf, where there you find all the complete Ten Sefirot, receiving all the light from the Rosh to the Toch, and that's why the world of Adam Kadmon is called the world of, is called Akudim, and then Nikudim, and then Budim. Okay. Questions on that? Yosef from Jerusalem is asking, what is the difference between the expansion of the Malchut and the widening of the Malchut?
All of reality is the expansion of Malchut of Ein Sof. Malchut of Ein Sof determines that he wants to resemble the light, and therefore it activates itself and builds the worlds. That's the expansion of Malchut. Now, the hitrachvut, the widening of Malchut, sometimes it's referred to as hitrachvut, but probably we can say it refers to the light of Chassadim, but where's the text?
The beginning of the excerpt.
Yeah, so that's probably what it means. The expansion is from below up, from above downwards, which means Chokhmah. The widening refers to width, which is light of Chassadim usually.
Sergei from Ukraine, Sergei, writes that the United Virtual Group is ready to accept the friend who's going abroad.
They're willing. Okay, good. No, this we need to be concerned about. I understood from Chanoch that he's asking about the ten itself. So surely the ten has to first take care of itself. And after it takes care of itself, or in parallel, when it maintains itself, then in parallel, to think about the friend. Because in spirituality, the ten exists as one. One individual does not exist. More, that's it, yes.
He writes here, in the questions and answers, about the screen, that this force of detaining dwells always on the Pchina Dalet of the creature, except for the time that he draws a new light, and then he has to cancel this detaining force. What is that new light?
From Rosh to the Toch. If you don't understand the question, you need to go into the book where he shows you where he takes it from, and then you'll understand why he's giving you this answer. Because with regards to the Masach, you can get at least 50 different interpretations. So here, he perhaps gives you an interpretation that is related to the issue that he discussed in the book.
Principal question. What does it mean that suddenly a new light comes that obligates him to cancel the force of restriction? If the first restriction is a law, how come it is cancelled? There's a new light.
It's cancelled in the direction of receiving in order to bestow. So, of course, the restriction has to be cancelled. I sit in front of the host and I tell him I don't eat anything. Then I think, but I can do it for his own good. For his sake, I have the ability, I have the opportunity to think and calculate that I do it especially for him. That all the flavors I'm going to have are because I want to bestow to him. And then I cancel the restriction. We say the first restriction is never cancelled. What does that mean? That means in order to receive. It's not just to receive light. It's in order to receive. So over that, the restriction is not cancelled. But in bestowing, receive as much as you want.
So the discernment of a new light, it's not that the light is new, but the vessel identifies it as new.
Surely it's with respect to the Kli, yeah. There's nothing new. Yeah.
No, Itai.
Yes, Itai.
How, when we read together with the Rabash, the whole ten, together, how do we generate a state where, as you said before, his influence on us would be...
I don't know, but it's even good if you don't hear the words and only want to receive the light that reforms through him.
Sensitivity.
He is in adhesion with the Creator, so I want to be in adhesion with him. And that is not in your external mind. That's it. So I try.
No.
Yes.
Rabash wrote here about the intention of the Creator to do good to the creature. That's his intention. And the difference between the restriction of Bchinat Dalet and the screen is the condition that the emanated being would feel the intention of the Creator, and then he will have the ability to receive in order to bestow.
Well, we'll think in this direction. Yeah, give him the mic, yeah.
When I hear Rabash, I have difficulty to feel him. But if we read the writings of Rabash, I feel him more.
More, yeah.
The question is, what kind of preparation a person needs to feel him when we hear him?
I agree with you. Those who have a hard time hearing Rabash, yeah. We're not talking about the articles, but tests. That's a different thing. On the one hand. On the other hand, we'll try. So, and I'm telling you, you don't need to understand him. You need to yearn to receive an influence from him. It's like the Sufi told me, you have to love me if you want to learn from me. Like that. In that kind of way. More? Yes. What?
There's an example about a person before he goes to a wedding. He says, I'll drink just half a glass because if I drink more, I'm going to totally lose myself. Then he comes, he drinks this half a glass, then he begins to drink more, and he totally loses control. Is this the difference between the potential and the practice? Beforehand, the person says, I'll drink half, and in practice, he drinks more than half?
Well, in corporeality, this is so.
That's the difference between the Rosh and the Guf, that the Rosh is the thought that I want to restrict myself, but in practice I can't restrict myself.
No, there's no such things. In the Rosh, there's a decision to limit oneself forcefully, in potential. And what happens in potential will definitely happen afterwards in practice. There's no addition in the goof afterwards that's more or less. It's only what was decided in the Rosh.
What's the difference between in potential and in practice?
In the Rosh, it's a decision, and then in practice, it's the implementation. And what happened in the Rosh, we don't know, but we see what happened in the Guf. And therefore, in seeing the Guf, feeling the Guf, receiving, accepting what's in the Guf, that's how we understand what's in the Rosh. That's how it is. That's it? Good.
Sergei is asking, thanks to what inner work towards the Ten, I need to receive the light from Rabash.
That I receive everything from the Ten, and I want to connect to him as the upper conduit, the higher pipeline.
Mordechai is asking, for each and every desire, there is Rosh, Toch, and Sof. How many parts of him are created?
Over each and every desire, sure, that's what there is. We don't really determine that. We don't know that. What we are given is what we're given, and that's it. You're given a certain state, which is the desire, and opposite the desire, some revelation, some appearance of a state the desire is in, and you have to respond. We are moving to the article, the peace.
Yeah.